I'm not going to let you get away tonight without talking about werewolves and vampires, mm-hmm. especially as we get close to Halloween here.
Okay.
Let's start with the werewolves. A lot of interest here from you on this.
Yeah, I mean, werewolves have always been a particular fascination and interest of mine, probably more so than pretty much any other weird creature I've investigated. People, when I mention this, people always ask me, do you believe in werewolves? And I think what they're actually asking me is, do I believe, that the sight of a full moon, human beings are sprouting hair, fangs, claws, and howling at the moon, etc. And personally, I don't. I don't think, human beings are sort of metamorphosizing, Incredible Hulk style and bursting out of the clothes, etc. I don't think that's going on. I think there are actually two things occurring here. One is the fact that there's no doubt that in many of the werewolf-type legends that proliferate in Europe, particularly in centuries past, when they were talking about werewolves and you look at the stories, they're not talking necessarily about the classic image that we have of the werewolf today, this bipedal creature that's sort of half man, half giant wolf. They're talking more about a large, monstrous wolf. Now, certainly in, thousands of years ago, there were very, very large wolves, prowling the United States, for example, that would be considered monstrous, compared to the size of the ones that exist today. In other words, some very, very large wolves. One of the theories that's been postulated and put forward is that perhaps, in some of the more remote and dense forests in the U.S., is it possible that some surviving pockets of these ancient giant wolves are still roaming the woods? I think that's a possibility. Now, other reports, for example, I have a whole chapter in the book where I interviewed a famous US-based werewolf hunter named Linda Godfrey, who's investigated the subject extensively. Linda's looked into a number of cases and specifically told me for the book how various reports had surfaced that seemed, again, to be suggestive of a paranormal creature. A lot of reports over here in the vicinity of areas of Native American Indian significance, ancient burial grounds, cemeteries even, things like that, reports of these things appearing, materializing and vanishing. And again, this seems to tie in with other aspects of cryptozoology. And also back in England, I've investigated several of these cases. One of the most famous ones that occurred in England was the case of something that became known as the Hexham Heads, which I've also written about. And this relates to an event in 1972 when two young boys were digging in their back garden of their home and dug up these old carved heads, one of which looked like a female head, one looked male, and which reputedly dated back to Celtic times, ancient Celtic times. Well, they brought them in the house, and it seems that, according to the story, they had magical qualities attached to them in some respects, in the sense that in the nights that followed, the family began to experience weird activity, and the immediate next-door neighbors reported how they woke up in the middle of the night to see this large, literally like a werewolf-type creature looming over them in bed. The heads were then transferred or given to a doctor, an expert in Celtic legends and tales and folklore, and she subsequently then experienced this creature manifesting in her bedroom as well, which she also described as like a wolf-type creature, but, standing upright, bipedal, like a man. And she felt that it emanated this air of, I guess, menace is the best way to describe it, and it would appear and vanish. And eventually she got rid of the heads, and the sightings and manifestations came to a halt. Actually, last summer in England, ironically, only about 5 miles from where I grew up, a large area of forest called the Cannet Chase, there was an outbreak there of what sounded suspiciously like werewolf encounters at an old cemetery that exists in the woods. And even people saying they saw this huge wolf running across one of the main highways. So, these reports are still going on to this day. It's not something that, is purely the domain of old folkloric tales, etc. There's countless reports of werewolf activity all across the U.S., all across Europe. And, I think some of these things are physical creatures. Others, seem less so, but certainly not insubstantial in that respect as far as the witnesses' encounters are concerned. One of the characteristics I find intriguing but strange at the same time is that a lot of reports, quite literally, you know, separated for, by nations across the world, a lot of the witnesses have said that they've reported seeing, or they've seen this creature walking on four legs, and that it's able also to stand upright. It's not necessarily we're dealing with two different creatures. It seems
and walk standing up?
Yeah, that it's that apparently has the capabilities to walk on four legs and two legs, you know, as if it's, you know, rather than a dog, you know, which just simply has to walk on four, that its back legs can also have the power and strength to support it on two legs as well. So, you know, it may be that we're dealing with one creature, but somebody sees it on four legs, somebody sees it on two, and they presume, you know, it's a different animal. I think that may not necessarily be the case. So.
Is it possible that these large wolves might be some kind of mutant caused by radiation fallout, anything?
Well, you know, I don't necessarily think it would be sort of radiation fallout, but I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't fall down in a dead faint if it was proven that there were, you know, mutated offshoots of various species out there that we simply don't know too much about. You know, I think that's very, very possible. And I think, you know, the idea that we know all the creatures that have become extinct are definitely extinct, I think that's nonsense. You know, you only have to look at things like the coelacanth, for example, to know that science loftily makes these predictions that, oh, this creature just doesn't exist anymore, and then lo and behold, it suddenly surfaces. So I think that, you know, we could be dealing with mutant offshoots. We could just be dealing with things that we've presumed have become extinct and that have survived extinction. Or maybe it's a combination of the two. You know, something survived extinction, but over the thousands of years, you know, it's changed slightly, perhaps got a little bit smaller to adapt to, you know, the new habitat or changes in temperatures, climate, etc. I think all those are possibilities we need to look into, specifically when we're looking at things like werewolf legends. And, you know, I mean, who knows? It's, you know, I don't think it's impossible that, you know, you see one of these weird-looking hairless dogs that are roaming Texas and other parts late at night. Could that be mistaken for something like a werewolf? I think it possibly could. You know, I think
absolutely
there could be a whole range of animals that might go towards answering the legend of what, you know, this creature may be.
Where do you put vampires in the mix with all these crypto creatures?
Well, again, you know, like with a lot of these winged creatures that we get reports of, whole ranges of cultures all across the world and across the centuries have legends of vampire-type creatures. Now, you know, as I said, you know, the typical image of the werewolf is of this hairy man-like creature sprouting fangs and fur at the sight of the full moon. And, you know, the classic image of the vampire, I suppose, is taken from Hollywood films. You know, we get this image of everybody dressed in black looking cool today, or in the old films, you know, dressed like a waiter with a cloak and sucking on the blood of people and, you know, changing them into vampires. But again, if you look back into the ancient legends, many of the vampire tales seem to have a lot of credibility, but in many cases, I think, it was simply the case that animals and people were found dead and drained of blood, and the local superstitious villagers and townsfolk centuries ago tried to put some semblance of an idea together as to, you know, what was going on, what was killing these things. And I think that's where the legend of the vampire was born. But again, that doesn't take away the fact that something was sucking the blood from the, you know, the people or the creatures, the animals. And I think, you know, a classic example is the chupacabras of today. By definition, that is a vampire.